Reverend Isaac Komolein.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let us be seated. God bless you. I begin by giving thanks to God who had made it possible for me to be in fellowship with you over these past few days. As you are being blessed, I am also being blessed. And after this meeting, many testimonies will come
Amen.
Out. You will come out to give testimony.
Amen.
And tonight, as we close this prayer conference, I'll be encouraging you from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I'll be speaking on the role of helpers in bringing you to the next level. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, these are they that came to David, to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hauling stones and in shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. You go to verse 14. These were of the sons of Gad, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100, greatest over 1,000. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. Look again at verse 8, the Gadites. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle. They could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. I close with verse 22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. Lord, I pray tonight that you will find us helpers. Helpers that are better than us, stronger than us, richer than us, wiser than us. Helpers who look like it. Helpers whose feet are fast on the ground to come to help, so that it will not be a help delayed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Nobody needs help unless your strength has been exhausted and you are still in a problem. As long as your wisdom can cope and your intelligence and resources can handle it, you don't need anybody's help. Help is needed when you are grounded and you know you are not there yet. A person like David, who was anointed to be king, got stalked. Anointing also get stalked. This issue of help, he doesn't know anointing. The day weariness sets in on the area of your strength, and you don't get help, then the enemy will catch you. Moses was anointed. And he had a call. There's no question about that. But the first battle of their encounter, when they came out of Egypt, they were going to fight the Midianites. And Moses told Joshua and said, "You go down and fight. Me, I will stay on top of the mountain and I'll be praying." But what happened? Each time Moses lifted up his hands in prayer, Israel win. When he brings down his hands because of weariness and tiredness, Israel lose. So he needed to keep the hand up. If the battle was going to last for only 5-10 minutes, no problem, he can handle it. But since the battle was going to last from morning till evening, he couldn't keep his hand up a whole day. If the journey from Egypt to Canaan was only 5 days, everybody will arrive. But since it was becoming long, weariness set in. There's a difference between power and strength. Samson was powerful, but he had no strength. He could remove gate with the iron bar, everything, and go. That's power. But when the battle was going to draw, the trial was going to draw over a long time, if you use new rope to tie me, if you weave my head, and round one, round two, this was how James Buster knocked out Mike Tyson, because his coach told him that Mike Tyson cannot fight for long. Do everything you can not to allow him to knock you out in the first 5 rounds. If Mike Tyson doesn't knock you out in 5 rounds, you will win. Because once the rounds are becoming many, he can't handle it. Strength is what you need to last in a battle. Strength is what you need to keep going, even when weariness seemed to be setting in. Somebody had said it, and I accept that, that if the journey to Canaan was only 1 week, everybody will arrive. But now that it's taking 40 years, a lot of people can't handle that. David was anointed. Moses was anointed, but in the day of battle, battle sets in and wearies you when it has become too long. Any problem, when it is becoming too long, develops a kind of chronic feature that becomes defiant to treatment. The woman with the issue of blood. Issue of blood in the life of a woman. If you see a growing girl that came to the point where she needs to be seeing her monthly period and didn't see it, we'll start praying. But what should last for 3 days, 2-3 days, has lasted for 12 years. That's what made it a problem. If ordinary headache and you sleep, it didn't go. You swallow Panadol, it didn't go. And headache lasts for 1 month. It becomes a problem. When Moses had to raise his hand up from morning till evening, and yet God was still in control. But God needed Moses' hand to be up. Yes, Moses will win this battle. Israel will win this battle, but at the cost of Moses' hand being up. There are many things that God and your destiny has prescribed. There's no question about it. But it's going to take some toll on your body. It's going to take some toll on your spirit and your soul. The promises are not enough. The covenant is not enough. The loud proclamation of your destiny is not enough. Yes, God will do it, but it's going to take a measure of toll. You are going to pay price. God was not denying Israel the victory, but Moses' hand needed to be up from morning till evening. And how does he do that? This is the reason why many of you have to take time out to train yourself to handle hardship. To train yourself to do vigil. To train yourself not to eat all the time, even when there is food. To train yourself and deny yourself and put yourself in kind of spiritual military training. Because of the day the Lord will require your own input in a victory, and it may not be cheap. Judges chapter 8. If you find Judges chapter 8 before me, can you read verse 4? Yes.
And passed over.
Yes.
He and the 300 men that were with him.
Yes.
Faint.
Yes.
Yet pursuing them.
Thank you. Gideon had an army of 300 people. They were pursuing the enemy. The enemy was running. And they came to Jordan. Passed over Jordan. The Bible says they were faint. Yet. Doing what? Pursuing. Did you remember one of the mighty men of David that the Bible says fought and fought and fought and fought, and his hand became tired, yet the sword refused to drop? In a young church that is still growing, in a young church that, in fact, what do I describe Wisdom Assembly? How do I describe this church? In a church that is still on the ground floor, in a church that is running in the children church, we still have a future that is very long, and we still have a future that is very big. The foundation members, I regard that you are. You must be men that are tough. Do you understand? Foundation stones carry heavy loads. But it's a privilege to be in foundation. Because upon you, therefore, rest the entire structure. And blessed are those who are here in this our day that can tell the story of our beginning. Blessed are those, the beauty of eldership, that you were there when they started. And you can tell the story of how we came from down to up. The beauty of your membership and the long-term implication of it is that you are able to stay from foundation to roof. Amen. May God make your life long.
Amen.
Say louder, amen.
Amen.
There are those who come to a church like this and see and look and look and say, they are still painting. Then he runs away. He doesn't want to take responsibility. Those are not the kind of people God will depend on to be foundation members. God has appointed and God has directed and God has blessed your life and given you as a gift to this church to be part of this new beginning. It's a privilege to be in the foundation. Foundation people are the strongest people. Foundation people are the most powerful people. No block or brick will stay in foundation if it's not strong. That you are part of our foundation is already predictable that you are a strong person. And if you have not been, may God make you strong.
Amen.
May God make you powerful.
Amen.
You need to train yourself and become tough. Paul told Timothy, he said he should be like a faithful soldier of Christ. We are like soldiers. We are fighting a war. May God help you.
Amen.
How did Moses get help? There were these fellows who are nameless. We don't know them. And that's the way of help. The kind of help you will get after this meeting, you will not need to know them.
Amen.
That's the way help comes. A man called Hur. That's about the only time we had his name in the Bible. Aaron, we had his name over and over. They came. And one of them sat and carried Moses' hand up. Another one sat and carried the second hand up. And there is a way you carry the hand up. The wisdom of a helper. You see, Carl, if Hur was going to carry Moses' hand up like this, after a while, he too, his own hand will be tired. He needed a wisdom on how to carry this hand. That's the only way he can do it in evening time. Your helper will devise a wisdom that is beyond you. Your helper will evolve a strategy that you have never had. Your helper will develop a certain wisdom that you have never known. And what has proved difficult, you lift up your hand from morning till afternoon, you are tired. Not even 1 hour or two, you are tired. But a man came to lift it up from morning till evening. He had the wisdom to do it. Helpers to your next level will fetch you a wisdom that you have never had. That anointing was there, it didn't matter. Which anointing? Anointing also, the oil suffers viscosity. It becomes, the oil is, it loses viscosity. The oil loses its firmness, thickness. In Nigeria, you get to a filling station and you are putting oil. You say, put thick oil. Oil also loses its strength. And why? And how? As a result of continued use. As a result of continued use. The oil, the anointing of a man of God can suffer some viscosity, low viscosity, as a result of continued use. The cutting edge of a man's precision as a prophet predictions come true can become blunt as a result of continued use. A knife that is sharp could suddenly become no more sharp because of continued use. May God help you.
Amen.
If your cutting edge is becoming blunt, it's not because you are lazy. In fact, it's a proof of hard work. Raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. There are things in the life of David that I have had times, beautiful times with the pastor since I came. We share from the Bible, we share from experience and so on and so forth. And it has been very good. There are certain things in the Bible that unless you have an A-level thinking, you will never know it. And I keep saying to Carl, if I were. Now, hear this. If I were David, In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God told Samuel that he had rejected Saul. And for that reason, Samuel poured oil on David to replace Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the next verse, battle came against Saul to eliminate him, so that the palace will now be vacant for the oil on David to express itself. So he was carrying a suspended destiny. Are you following me? He had been anointed to be king, but the palace was not vacant. So the battle that came on Saul in chapter 17 was to eliminate him, so that David can now find a platform to express his own destiny as king. But David got to that battle that day and got involved in killing Goliath and thereby postponing his own destiny. I said it before that this is A-level. If you... If I were David that day that I got there, David had no battle of his own. He went and put head. The battle was against Saul, not you. They sent you here to come and give bread to your brother, not to fight. Now, and only in the last chapter, you were anointed to replace this person. Now, you saw a man to kill him. It doesn't seem wise to me. In fact, you are supposed to encourage Goliath. Let Goliath. In fact, if you will kill Goliath, if you must kill Goliath, in my view, let Goliath first of all kill Saul. After he has killed Saul, then you kill Goliath. Me, I don't understand. They sent you, and there were different opportunities to get him off that issue. His elder brothers called him and said, "Leave here, go back home. We are not inside Children's Sunday School. Go home. This is war." He said no. That, in fact, that today he started rolling the sling. He said, "Today you see something." Brother David, go home. You don't have a job here. He said he can kill Goliath. That's not what you came here for. Now, when his brothers couldn't stop him, Saul himself told him, he said, "You are not able to kill this man." He said, "Wait." You know why I think that David shouldn't have been involved in that war? We preach today and give credit to David, but a deeper thinking will not. It's because the end did not justify the means. At the end of the day, these same Philistines killed Saul. Are you following me? Are you Bible readers?
Yes, sir.
These same Philistines eventually kill Saul. So if that is his destiny, why do you want to tamper with it? Number two, and for the period between his killing Goliath and the time the Philistines eventually got rid of him, he was living outside his destiny. His intervention postponed his own, it moved his own destiny forward. It postponed it. Now, besides, when they were looking, they said evil spirit came on Saul and Holy Spirit came on David. Okay? Now, each time evil spirit was troubling Saul, They said they're looking for somebody that can play music to reduce the evil spirit. And the person they got was David. This is whole nonsense to me. I don't understand this kind of situation. Now, you were anointed to replace him. Now, Holy Spirit came on you to do holy things. Evil spirit came on him to do evil things. And you are the one to go and play guitar so that the evil spirit will reduce the... I like to ask you a question. If you were Samuel and your house is over there, and you later heard that they're doing carol in Saul's house, and David is the one that is doing music director there. Now, and you are the one that God told the other day that Saul has expired, and you are the same person that anointed David to replace him. If you later hear in your house as a senior prophet that they are doing choir inside Saul's house, and David is the choir master, how do you feel? Me, I'm looking like it's a crazy stuff. If you are a senior man of God and you went through all of that, ordained first person, ordained the second person, anoint both of them, and God spoke to you, and you hear that they are doing fellowship. Of course, I no longer have any comment to run on this, because as David was playing the music to reduce the evil spirit, the Bible says that Saul carried javelin to pin David to the wall. He ran away. Then the following day, he still came. You that they want to pin. Brother David, you are not a wise person here. They want to pin you to the wall. You ran away. And you still came back. Till they pursue you enter bush. So if you look at the line of destiny and the way the journey was supposed to be run, you see, God will give you what he will give you. But he will not help you manage it. This is where the responsibility of your own intelligence is called upon. God anointed David, but it was up to David to manage it. Look at the way Joseph dreamed. He said he dreamt. They were harvesting on the farm. His own harvest was standing. The other ones were bowing down to his own. That's the dream God gave him. Then he went and told his elder brothers. Then they hated him. He knew that they hated him. If you used to pass before and you greet them, they answer. Now you pass, you greet them, they didn't answer. In fact, they make mouth for you. They make mouth. Now, if they didn't make mouth, you pass and then look back and saw the way. Now, you should know. If you don't have Holy Spirit, have sense. That should tell you something. Then you dreamt again. And you went and told them. The hatred raised to power too. God gives you dream. You manage it. They nearly killed Joseph on this matter. And that will not be the fault of God. And that's where I'm coming here. Sometimes if you are not getting the correct type of counsel and help, the whole promise of God upon you may expire, and it's your fault. See how God promised people he was bringing them from Egypt to Canaan. They didn't arrive. Is it the fault of God? He gives you a promise. You manage it. He will not manage it for you. Brother David, you went and kill Goliath.